What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
I don't know how you could look at a baby or look at the parts of a baby and not have some kind of compassion or heart-wrenching question about what you're doing.
What the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3 is that the church is a sign to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So the church is an outpost of the coming kingdom of God.
There's a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow path that leads to eternal life. And T.D. Jakes' answer puts people on and keeps them on the broad road that leads to destruction.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
Well, by now you probably know what Ashley Madison is. For some of us, it was the name of some famous person. Well, it's not a famous person. It's a famous website, and it's famous for, well, any number of reasons, but probably most recently for having been hacked. And that was of particular concern to many, many people, apparently millions of people. And as the time has gone by and the story has unfolded, most of them men. Why? Well, because Ashley Madison was not just a dating website, as some might have supposed. It was, well, I don't know what to call it except an adultery website. It was a place where apparently you could go, you could sign up, log in, whatever you did, and you could troll around, look for someone with whom you wanted to have an affair. You could be single, you could be married, it didn't make any difference. Why do we know about it? Well, some famous people signed up. Some famous people were using it. And it's of great shame to those who have been caught. One of the famous Duggars of 19 kids and counting, was outed as a user of Ashley Madison. And his explanation was that his use of online pornography led him to the adultery. And everyone was scratching their heads. Well, not everyone, but the media was scratching their heads. What's the connection? How could there possibly be any connection? That sounds like an excuse. He sounds like he's saying that pornography made him commit adultery. Is there a connection between the two? And do we rightly understand the term adultery, especially when Christians use it? We don't expect the culture to understand the term adultery, except in the grossest sense. But how should Christians understand that term? We're going to be talking about the connection between pornography and adultery. Dr. Lucas Woodford is going to join us here in just a few minutes. After our conversation with Lucas Woodford, Ken Samples will join us. There's a TV series on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. It's one of the remakes of those things that have been around on television for a long time. We'll be talking with Ken Samples about that. He's author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Dr. Lucas Woodford is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about pornography and adultery. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Mayer, Minnesota, and he's collegium fellow for doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Lucas, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Before we talk about the connection between pornography and adultery, first let's get our vocabulary straight on adultery in a classical Christian sense.
Well, the reality that we have as Christians, we understand the commandments, the sixth commandment as we number them, that adultery is someone having sexual relations with someone who is not their spouse. So we have a commandment against that that says we shall not commit adultery. But there's also more than just the physical sense of a sexual experience. Jesus, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, then also gives us a recognition of what adultery can also include when he says, you've heard it said there in Matthew chapter 5, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So as Christians, then, we understand and recognize that there is more to that understanding of adultery than just the physical act itself, but of course it's also the lustful intent and what that can bring and wreak havoc to someone's relationship as in the physical sense, but of course spiritually as well.
So in that sense, that finer sense of the definition, we have to say that all Christians must admit to adultery, even if we just narrowed it to all married Christians, they must admit to adultery even though they may have not taken a mistress or a guy on the side.
They would have to, in the sense that if they have looked at someone with lustful intent, they have committed adultery with, as Jesus says, her in his heart. And that's a hard reality for some to hear when they're looking at how devastating that can actually be upon others.
So the media was a little shocked when one of the famous Duggars, who had all sorts of media problems to begin with, turned out to be a registrant at Ashley Madison, the famous adultery website now.
Right.
And he initially wrote in an apology/explanation that he thought he had been led to this via pornography, and the media was scratching their heads. What puzzled them?
Well, they're wondering how in the world can someone simply just looking at pornography cause someone to commit adultery, and they don't see a necessary connection to that. Because for many in the secular world, of course, looking at pornography is simple entertainment and enjoyment, and how can that really be anything bad? Well, we recognize as Christians certainly that that's already first committing adultery in the heart, and as we can dig in and explore, when we begin looking at such images as provocative, explicit, and of course as dangerous, spiritually dangerous as pornography, it can lead one further and further into acts of deviancy, which in his case was acting out what he had been watching and seeing.
So my first question when I saw the Duggar story and he talked about pornography leading him to adultery, I was operating with the framework that you described a few minutes ago, and I was thinking, okay, is he admitting to adultery in his heart? Which wouldn't surprise me. I can't think of a Christian that wouldn't. Or is he admitting to actually having found someone other than his wife to have sex with? Does it really matter before God in that sense?
Well, I suppose before God, in that sense, perhaps no, but we must remember that even though all sins are equally condemning, all sins are not equally defiling. And so this is difficult, of course, for the media and the secular world to understand and recognize of, okay, he might be admitting that at the heart level that he had lusted after someone because he looked at that pornography, but there's really a lot of evil, sinister things that are at work with someone who is indulging in pornography as well, more than just the idea of a moral infraction or doing a bad thing, which again is debatable in the secular world of saying, well, what's wrong with looking at that? But there's not only now ample, of course, Christian suggestions on how devastating it'd be, but scientific evidence regarding what it's doing to the brain and how that it can certainly impact our behavior, that it does have an impact, and it's not good for the individuals in terms of behavior, but of course for us as well. It's also a spiritual contamination, something much more significant than just a bad deed or a moral infraction.
I want to come back to that in a minute. Why do we make a distinction, as kind of in a churchly sense, Dr. Woodford, between the sin that all married Christians must admit to having committed and those who, as we would say, act on it in a physical sense? Why do we make that distinction if both sins are equally condemned as adultery?
Well, because they carry different realities in the spiritual sense. Different sins defile us differently, which carry out, then, of course, very different realities in our relationships with other people. And so, yes, we would make the distinction between the lusting of the heart and between the actual committing of it, because there are distinctions on there in terms of our relationship with other people, though in terms of our standing before God, the vertical relationship with God, it has an equal standing of condemning us. But there are variations of it in our relationship in the horizontal realm with other people, which has varying degrees of impact and contaminating effects upon other people. For example, Josh Duggar's sin, then how did it contaminate his wife in the sense of great, great sin that was heaped upon her by the violation of trust that had happened through his actions, not only in the viewing of pornography. Of course, stealing with his eyes was what isn't his to belong to him to begin with, but then also going out and acting perhaps upon something you may have seen or being compelled in such a way to go out and find that sexual fulfillment in someone else who is not his wife.
Society has struggled with to define one of the kind of the core components, obscenity, in pornography for a long time, and I imagine we'll always have, at least in society, that very wispy definition. I don't know what it is, but I know when I see it. How do we as Christians, we certainly don't have a scriptural definition of such a thing, but other than the images themselves or what is depicted, how do we Christians want to at least approach a definition of pornography?
Well, I think perhaps we want to use language that's strong enough that conveys what it is, as vile as it is, or debauchery, the sense that it really is devastating to our souls, in the sense that this isn't good for us on a number of levels. And we're finding more and more research, of course, that in the scientific world that can back up what Christians have been saying a long time about the devastating impacts, but the vileness of it, the nature of it being similar to debauchery, and the great impact that it has upon one's own soul and their standing certainly before God, but also when they become contaminated or defiled in such a way, they draw to themselves more attention, much like a rotting carcass in the forest, where you see swirling above it and flying above it, of course, are vultures. Very much like that in our own sin, particular with pornography, it opens ourselves up to great realities of Satan flocking and his demons flocking to us to confront us all the more with our own darkness and sin and temptations that are luring to take us away and destroy our faith. So there's a great, great urgency for the church to be very clear on the devastating, the immoral, the defiling nature of pornography.
Dr. Lucas Woodford is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 2nd. We're talking about pornography and adultery. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Mayer, Minnesota, collegium fellow for doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. We'll be right back.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's LCIW.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at LCIW.org.
Or sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Lucas Woodford is our guest. We're talking about pornography and adultery. In about 10 minutes, Ken Samples joins us. There's a TV series on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. He's author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Dr. Woodford, then you talked before about spiritual contamination, I think was the term that you used. Can you define that a little more clearly?
Sure. Oftentimes, when we approach sinfulness, we think of it in a category that's only relating to our acts, like we did a bad deed or a moral infraction. And that's by and large, I think, how secular society will look at what they understand when the church says sin, someone did a bad thing. But the reality is, when we look at Scripture and read it, that there's something far greater, far worse, when we're talking about pornography here, something very sinister at work, a great evil that is at work, and that contaminates us in a way that perhaps our own eyes, of secular world eyes, cannot see, but the eyes of faith certainly do, as it's described certainly in Scriptures, the reality of a spiritual defilement that takes place from this contamination that affects us spiritually and, of course, is acted out then in our in the lives of faith or lack of faith then in very detrimental ways to our faith. So it's a contaminating effect. So the way I like to teach it when I teach my confirmands or even in Bible class, it's, for example, it's like radiation poisoning that you can't always see, but it's eating you and destroying you from the inside out. And when we are spiritually contaminated, that's how it's continuing the evil, our sin, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh continue to eat away at our faith, at our life, and lead us astray into the darkness of Satan, into the vileness, the evil that he would have us to do. And pornography is certainly just one of those avenues, but is a very prevalent one in our society.
What does it do to relationships?
Oh, it crushes and destroys them, or it perverts them. So if we're talking on a husband and wife relationship, in my own pastoral care of souls, I've seen it numerous times where it has simply crushed a spouse that has come into contact with one spouse or the other, was viewing pornography, and it is very much as having created... having lusted after another woman in the heart of adultery, many, particularly women, feel that it has completely violated the trust and destroyed that relationship. And there's been some that have not been able to recover from it because it is so intense. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that it's going to be every relationship or that it is an unforgivable sin. I've also had countless others who have been able, by the grace of God, through the good news of the gospel, the forgiveness and the purification that comes through God's holiness, been able to restore couples back to life. Of course, that's the good news of the gospel that we have joy of sharing.
One of the things is we are image-making and image-keeping beings. It's simply part of how we're created. Images
right.
are powerful in the sense that they convey meaning, and they, the postmodernists would debate this, they don't just convey meaning, they contain meaning in the mind who has them. Now, the images simply can't be scrubbed from the mind. One of our pastor guests, and I can't remember who it was, talked about pornography, and he said, you can't unsee it. That's one of the dangers of it. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, absolutely. And the research has showed us that, and you can probably, if you've experienced this or I have too, research has showed the first pornographic image that you see is imprinted in your brain. And the average age now today is a terrifying 8 years old when children view pornography. And what's being found from that, those contaminating effects that we talk about spiritually but also seen out in the life, is it can often have very detrimental effects depending on what particular image is seen and how that child then perhaps acts it out or begins having various other attractions. This is especially so if the first pornographic image that is seen for a young child is of the same sex nature of homosexuality. And so it is certainly, we can't unsee that. Even if it's coming across innocently, there it is in all its fullness. And so we can't unsee that. And so then it retains in our mind, and if we're using it to indulge upon or have lust in our heart, we can keep it in that corral of our mind and pull it up when we might want to indulge in it, and then recontaminate ourselves and go down that sinful reality of where Satan wants us to go. So I would completely agree with that.
Well, I guess the flip side of that is that, and it hardly seems possible, I hate to say that, Dr. Woodford, but it hardly seems possible that someone could make it to adulthood in the culture we live in now and not glimpse some kind of pornography.
Absolutely.
Because of its pervasiveness, okay? But even if someone were to manage to do that, I'm going to speak of this only as a male. You know, I've got a pretty good pornography factory going on in my mind. I don't need to see them in order to make them. And rather than an excuse for saying, well, then I might as well just look at pornography, it is perhaps I don't want to feed that fire.
Right. Well, we battle against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And since it's already there, why do we want to feed it all the more where we would indulge in it and continue to go down in it and not only corrupt our own soul and contaminating our own soul, but then, as we've seen with Ashley Madison, how it affects relationships and destroys the relationships that we have that God has so wonderfully intended for us and to be fulfilled in terms of often what people think they're craving and desiring from pornography. They are actually depraving themselves from the goodness that is given when they, if it's a married person, when they can have that already in the married relationship. So certainly, because of our own sinful flesh and the vileness that it is, we don't need anything more to try and feed it. Rather, what we want to do is, as Paul invites us, to think of whatever's noble, right, worthy, and good. We think on those things, but that doesn't, of course, take away the contaminating effects. We need to have that taken care of by God's holy word to sanctify and purify us, so that we can walk forward in a renewed relationship, not only with him, but, of course, with all the others that we've heaped sin upon by our indulgence of pornography.
Talk a bit about the adultery end of then the spectrum that we've been discussing here, where adultery actually has been committed. In a pastoral sense, the pastoral practice is often deeply practical as well. It can irreparably destroy a marriage. Talk about that.
Oh, for sure. You're talking in terms of someone viewing pornography and then the lustfulness in the heart, whether it's viewing pornography or some other person, that can be irreparable to a marriage.
Well, yes, and then the actual adultery, if it leads to adultery itself,
sure.
You're talking about, I'm trying to kind of get at there are consequences that are beyond our control in some of the sins that we commit. The sins of the mind, there are consequences beyond our control, but they need not affect other people. This one can destroy a family. This one can destroy a marriage.
Oh, for sure. And not only, just destroying the family, the marriage, but of course, what are everything else that goes with it? Did it result in a pregnancy? Did it result in a sexually transmitted disease? All those things are just completely devastating to a couple, in addition to the trust that is absolutely violated, that is taken, and God has created us and designed us to be in connection with another person, and particularly in marriage. Even the recent brain research has showed us that all the synapses and the dopamine and the neurochemicals of oxytocin and vasopressin are designed, and this is the wonders of God's creation, to keep us in connection with our spouse, particularly in the sexual union. And when that's broken, there's a great violation of trust that goes on, And we can sense that, I think, people can sense that when they recognize the wrong that they have done, that their body is inherently telling them, because we're designed differently and God has made us so. But of course, certainly from the conscience point of view, where God's as word is upon us and pointing our conscience, that we have a guilty conscience or a shamed conscience that needs delivering from. But absolutely, it is a very devastating reality, not only to the marriage, but of course, if there's any children involved. Most recently, again, we've seen another pastor, a megachurch pastor that's in the news, where infidelity has occurred, and it can wreak havoc, not only upon certainly the pastor in this case that it was, but then his wife, himself, his children, the congregation. And that doesn't have to be pastor. Of course, it can be any person where infidelity has occurred. It is absolutely devastating and destructive force.
Finally, then, a pastoral word, given our circumstances here, Dr. Woodford, that, as we mentioned just a moment ago, this has now become more pervasive, more on the surface of society than under the surface of society. What is your pastoral word for those of us who got to live here?
Right. Well, so recognizing that, there are some practical steps, of course, that we can take to guard our eyes and guard ourselves against that, and recognizing that. We can't, of course, shelter ourselves from every single thing. Of course, we'd never get out, or we'd, of course, live in the walking around as having a bubble around us. But we certainly can be mindful of that and be keeping ourselves accountable, teaching our children how to guard their eyes and internet sites and filters that we can certainly have on there. Those are all well and good. But, of course, when that does happen, and as you and I have recognized already, it's going to happen, and when it results in continual or lustful thoughts, then we need the ordinary means of grace to apply to that in terms of being renewed, refreshed, being cleansed and purified where that defilement has occurred. And so, of course, there's confession and absolution. There is the Lord's Supper. There's the ordinary means of care that are given to our souls as we live in this world. But, of course, then when it continues on, when it becomes an addiction, and research has shown that it is a very similar and same addiction to cocaine and things like that, then we have to begin taking intervention steps that may need other care, but certainly in the pastoral care of souls, where we want to keep that soul in proximity to God's holiness, regularly bringing them back again and again to that holiness of God to purify and to cleanse them and to let them rest in that hope and the light of Christ. And if there's any pastors listening where this has affected them, either personally, their family, or those in the congregation, of course, we have that great hope that comes in Christ, who is the light of the world that no darkness can overcome.
Dr. Lucas Woodford is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Mayer, Minnesota. He's Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. You can find out more about Doxology under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Lucas, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
When we come back, we're going to be turning to a subject a little more absurd. There's a TV series on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. These things have been running on television for the last 35, 40 years. This one, not different from the others, makes all sort of quasi-historical claims. You ought to see the irony of the History Channel running something called Ancient Aliens. We'll talk about it with Ken Samples on the other side of the break. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support.
The Issues, Etc. 300.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled "All Things to All Men." You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues, Etc. journal.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.